Praise God. Isn't he good to us? Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 21, be reading from verses 6 through 16. Matthew 21, 6 through 16. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes. And they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees and strew them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And verse 17, And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. When we think of moving day, we think of all the backaches, we think of all the headaches, we think of all the heartaches of going from one place to another. There are arrangements that have to be made, help that has to be enlisted, packing that has to get done, and unpacking on the other end. Now, if you want to know anything about moving, just ask us. We have been there. In 49 years, we have moved 26 times. That means every 1.88 years out of the 49, we have packed everything up and moved everything to another location. Sometimes for a short time, sometimes for a long time. We've moved in every imaginable fashion. We've gone the U-Haul route. How many have ever moved with a U-Haul trailer or a U-Haul truck? Okay, we've gone the U-Haul route. We have even employed, well, our former employer employed professional movers. We've enlisted pickups and even made a move down a mountain on a motorcycle. Now, fancy this, if you will, going down a mountain on a 125cc Kawasaki with a board, a 2x6, stretched across the back fender and the luggage rack, and six chairs, three piled up on each side, pots and pans hanging off of that chairs, and things strapped on the gas tank in front and on the front fender, and going down the mountain to move. Everything arrived safely. But one of the fastest moves that we ever made was in June of 1988. Some of you here remember that move because some of you here were involved in that move. As the floodwaters of the Mississippi continued to rise and the waters began to surround our home, the decision was made on late Saturday night we had to move out. When church was over on Sunday morning, 44 people from this body of believers, I'm not going to name names because I'd miss some, but 44 people from this body of believers showed up at our house with 17 pickup trucks. And within a matter of a few hours, everything was packed up, loaded, and moved to high ground and to safety. What an awesome God we serve. Moving day. There are ways of moving that do not involve a household move. You can be moved to tears. You can be moved with compassion, and you can be moved to action. Each of these moves call for some sort of response on our part. When we are moved to tears, what happens? We cry. We begin to let our emotions flow out of us. When we're moved with compassion, we see a need, and we move to meet that need. When we're moved to action, we take up a cause, and we go out to see that that cause has the proper answer, and that we are a part of meeting that need. I believe that Palm Sunday was a moving day, if there ever was one. In the scriptural accounts of that day, we find that a city was moved. We see that the cheaters and the swindlers were moved. For just a few moments today, let's examine each of those occurrences. The city being moved, the cheaters and the swindlers being moved, and the hand of God being moved. When Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem, riding on the young colt of a donkey, the townspeople were moved. They lined the roads leading into the city. It was as if there was going to be a great parade. Shouts began to rise up from the crowd as they began to cry, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Unbeknownst to those people lining the streets, unknown to those people who were crying out to the top of their voice, they were fulfilling prophecy given by Isaiah. Not only did they sound forth the praises, they cut down palm branches and they waved them. They waved them as they shouted out to the Lord. And they laid them in the pathway, making a roadway for him to enter the city. When he entered the city, and the people began to ask, "Who is this?" Can you imagine? These people are all lined up and down the streets, up and down the roadway leading into the city of Jerusalem. And some were saying, "Who is this? What's going on? Who's this coming to town? Is it a parade? What's going on?" This was a parade unlike any parade that any of us have ever witnessed. It wasn't the annual Thanksgiving Day parade. It wasn't the Christmas Day parade. It wasn't the New Year's Rose Bowl parade. These things had never been heard of. These things had never been seen or witnessed before. There was no grand marshal. There were no floats. There were no marching bands or twirlers with their banners giving their names of who they represented. It was Jesus. Jesus and his disciples entering the city of David, just like God said that it would happen. Picture in your mind. You were there on that very day when Jesus rode into town. Picture in your mind all of the things that would transpire from the time that he entered Jerusalem through that entire week until the following Sunday. Picture in your mind, if you were there, would you be with the ones who would say, "Who is this? What's going on here?" Or would you be like the ones who cried out, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed be the name of the Lord! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord!" The town, the whole city was moved. But not only was the city moved, the cheaters and the swindlers were moved that day. When Jesus arrived in town, his very first stop was at the temple. He went to the house of God. The temple had become a marketplace. It was filled with buyers. It was filled with sellers and money changers doing business in the courts of the Gentiles, making no room for strangers, making no room for the Gentiles to come and to worship God. The Jews were being exclusive, not inclusive like God wanted them to be. They were being exclusive and making no room for anyone else. It was as if you are not a Jew, you do not belong in the presence of God. But God had other plans. That's why he had the temple set up the way that it was, so that it would be inclusive, so that others could come in and come to know him and have a relationship with him. Those coming for the Passover feast, they had to pay a temple tax that could only be paid by a certain obsolete coinage. Because of this, the money changers, they had a booming business in Jerusalem. They had a booming business selling those obsolete coins. But due to the limited number, due to the small amount of those coins that were available, they were sold and then resold over and over and over again. The money changers were increasing in riches, but not the house of God. Travelers were not able to bring with them the sacrificial animals that were needed. Can you imagine traveling, going from all different parts of the nation of Israel and going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and you had to have an offering with you to give? You had to have a sacrificial offering. Can you imagine traveling and taking with you a spotless lamb? Can you imagine taking the doves? Can you imagine taking the animals that were required for the sacrifice? I can. We traveled a lot in the Philippines, and it was nothing to get on a jeepney and have a chicken sitting on one knee and tuna standing beside the door on either side and maybe a goat in the middle. And anytime you moved, you had to walk around these animals. But they did not always have the means to take those sacrificial animals with them. So, unscrupulous vendors, they devised a plan. "Come to me. We got what you need. We've got the animals that you need to sacrifice. We have everything available for you here. You can travel in convenience. You can travel and not have to worry about bringing the animals with you. We have them available." They set up booths to provide the worshipers with the animals that were to be offered in the temple. But many times these animals were not the spotless, blemish-free, sacrificial lambs and animals that they were supposed to be. And many times these animals were taken in one door and brought right back out and sold again. Just kind of a round robin with them. Sad to say. Sad to say that even the priests had to be involved in some of the sham, in the corruption of worship that was transpiring. The prophet Jeremiah, he warns in his word and says, "Woe unto the pastors and the sheep then that scatter the sheep. Woe unto the shepherds that feed not the flock." That's what was happening in the nation of Israel. That's what was happening in the city of God. That's what was happening in Jerusalem when worship was supposed to be taking place. When Jesus saw the travesty of worship that was going on, he used the word just as he had used it when he faced the devil. And he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Jesus overthrew the tables and he drove the money changers and the sellers from the temple. The cheaters and the swindlers were moved that day when Jesus came to town. Wow. When Jesus came to town. When Jesus came to the temple, there was a change that took place. When Jesus came, God's hand was moved. When the temple was cleansed, the blind and the lame, they came and they healed them. The children began to cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The very same pattern of events must follow today if we are to see God's hand move and pray to be perfected. It all begins by recognizing Jesus and allowing him to enter. He must be made king of our lives. So often in our lives, we set up other things. We set up other things and we give them other things homage. We give those other things worship. We bow down to those other things. But if we want our lives to change, if we want the world around us to change, we must recognize the King. And his name is Jesus. Second, the church. The church has to be cleaned up. It has to be cleaned up, folks. There must be a thorough cleansing of the temple. Not only the church universal, but each and every living stone that makes up the body of Christ. Each and every one of us need to be cleansed and set free from the things that have held us bondage, from the things that we have put before God Almighty. Jesus cleared the physical temple by driving out those who were corrupting worship. Paul corrected the Corinthian church when they became puffed up over the sin that was going on in their midst. What shape is the church in today? There was a major news story. It's been a couple of years ago now, where a church the Quad City Metropolitan Church, made news as they bought the old Blockbuster video store and renovated it and moved into it as their new church. The pastor, when he was interviewed on television, declared that now we have a larger facility. Now we have our own facility where we can conduct more same-sex marriages. Those things were making news. Another pastor in the Quad City area declared, we need more casinos. Because if we have more casinos, it'll bring in more money to the Quad Cities and a more desirable type of people. God, have pity on the churches of this land, on the churches of this area, that they would succumb to such idolatrous and anti-God messages. Idolatry is rampant. It's rampant in religious circles today. If Jesus were to visit in person, what would his reaction be? What would Jesus say if he walked into some of the churches today? What would be his reaction if he walked into First Baptist Church today? Oh, somber thought. Somber thought. Some could say, I believe he would rejoice. I believe he would be exalted by what he would see. But he sees deeper. He sees more than we see. He sees more than these eyes or your eyes begin to see. What would Jesus say if he were to walk into our church today? Only when we allow his word to work in us and through us will we see that free flow of the blind and the lame coming to the house of God for healing. And only then will we begin to hear the children crying out their praises to God. I don't know how many of you parents or grandparents have little children in the 3 to about 5 or 6 year old age group. Faith Weavers. Faith Weavers is doing a dynamic work with our boys and girls. Last Wednesday night, my heart leapt for joy as two little girls, John and Jill from your class, they came in to our class afterwards, and they pulled up a chair and stood up on their chair and arms raised. They said, I'm important to Jesus. Oh, folks, that's what it's about. When we begin to realize we are important to Jesus, and we can stand even as they did, up on our chairs, arms raised high, giving glory and praise to God Almighty. I'm important to Jesus. You are important to Jesus. Is he important to you? Is he important? to you. Could today, April 9th, 2017, be another moving day? Could it be another moving day as that first Palm Sunday? Oh, that cities. Oh, that our city would be moved by the hand of God, and sin moved out, and the hand of God move in our midst. Oh, I'm important to Jesus. You are important to Jesus. So important that he has placed his hand upon you. So important that he has called out to you, who will go for me? Who will speak for me? Who will reach out for me? Who will touch others in my name? Could today be another moving day? Could today be the day that you would say, "Here am I, Lord. Here am I. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But Lord, I make myself available for you. I don't have the ability, but I have the availability, and I give it to you. I give it to you, Lord, to use and to work and to move in my life, in my family, in my friends, in my city." Pastor has shared time and time again about the 25,000. But what impact has it made? What impact has it made in you and me? I'm not exempt. In you and in me. What impact has it made in our lives? To touch this city. Only when we recognize who the real King is. Only when we come to him and clear the slate can he move as he desires to move. One of the greatest hindrances to the moving of God's hand is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Bitterness of soul. All of these form together to make rebellion on our part. If you're here today and you find that you have unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of others. And unforgiveness of yourself. Today can be a day that changes all of that. Today can be a day where you become set free. Set free to work and to move and to reach our city as God has called you and us as a body to do. I want us just to close our eyes for just a moment. We're not going to be thinking about the person sitting next to us. We're not going to be thinking about Well, somebody three rows behind me, what will they think? We need to look at ourselves. Is there any unforgiveness in my heart? Is there any bitterness in my heart? Am I being held back because of these things? Today can be a moving day. Today can be a transformation in your life like you have never seen before, if you'll just give it to Jesus. If you'll just recognize Him as the King. I'm going to ask Karen if she would come to the piano, our musicians and our praise team. And they're going to play very softly, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him." There's no better way for us to adore Him than by giving Him ourselves. Giving Him our bitterness. Giving Him our unforgiveness. Giving Him all that we have. As they play, and as they sing very softly this morning, I invite you, if you find yourself dealing with those issues in your life, just come. Just come, find a place here at the altars, and give it to the Lord today. Give it to Him. Let Him move in your heart.